take your Bibles this evening. Turn it with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Oftentimes, we will preach on 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when you're having the Lord's table, but I want to go back a chapter, look at a conversation that Paul was having with the church of Corinth. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16 of chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of these sacrifices partaker of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? You know, in just a little bit, he's going to rehearse in their ears what happened on that night that the Lord was taken from the garden. Or, excuse me, from that Last Supper and ultimately going to the garden. I think it's interesting where he starts here, though. He starts talking about the cup of blessing. It's obvious that they were already observing what we would call the Lord's table before he ever really put it in print, per se, in chapter 11. But he calls it the cup of blessing which we bless. You know, the word blessing is the same word that we get the word eulogy from. And it carries with it this idea of praising or an invocation of blessing. And so it's very, very interesting. And so if you carry that idea, even in this context, it's talking about the cup of blessing, but it's not just blessings from nowhere or from nothing. It's a specific blessing. It's the cup of blessing which we bless. It's talking about the communion of the blood of Christ. I want you to think about that. I said this morning when we began our service that, you know, there's a lot of people in a lot of different places praising a lot of different things, and whether it's sports teams or their favorite number that goes around in a circle, or whatever it might be, it seems to me as I look around that athletics has become a god in this nation above all other. Millions of people gather together to praise, whether as I said, a coach or a player or a team, but there's more noise made at one of those, and I think about the energy and the effort and the finances are all put towards that. And I'm not anti-sports, I enjoy sports, but we cannot raise it above our love for Christ. What is it that you're praising with your life? What are you expending your time on? Your energy? Listen, this praise is not just lip service. It's not that they were actually performing the Lord's table. It was an actual time and event and thing that they were doing. And I'd liken that just for a second, if we could, to what are we praising our lives with? Not just our lips, but our lives. Every day you get up, you have so many different choices. Am I going to sleep in? And am I going to get up? Am I going to read God's word? Or am I just going to glance? Am I going to pray? And we have all these different choices. And listen, every time we make a choice that pleases God, you know what we're doing with our life? We are praising him with our lives. He's talking about the cup of blessing. This eulogy, this invocation of blessing. I have to tell you, I don't think I'm going to preach very long tonight. When we have the Lord's table, I like the service to be focused on the Lord's table. And I don't think it's wrong necessarily to preach a message and then have the Lord's table, but when we come, what is it, four times a year, and the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me, I just don't think it should be a tack on. And I know we've been busy this month, but I want to just put everything aside for just a little while and think about how we can praise God with our lives. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The first thing I really see in this passage of Scripture is the fellowship in the sacrifice. The fellowship in the sacrifice. I want you to see that word communion in verse 16, and you'll see it again right before verse 17. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And so we have the blood and the body of Christ talking again about the Lord's table and how they come together. But you understand that this communion is a commonality. It is the word that we use for Koine Greek, the common language that they used in Bible days. It is a commonality. And so in this community of believers, then they were coming together to do what? To praise God. That's what we do. We come together and we have the Lord's table. Do you realize people everywhere are looking to belong somewhere? Do you realize that? Hey, listen, you can go and find a Rotary Club. Why? Because they want to belong to something. There's a Moose Lodge. They want to belong to something. If you've ever been in the military, there's a camaraderie, and people want to feel like they belong. Sometimes it's people's work. They go, and they feel that that is their belonging. Let me tell you something. When you come to church, you should feel like you belong. This is where you belong. Do you understand? This is the community that you should have from whence the rest of your life flows out of. Listen, I believe that that's one of the reasons we have such gang violence in the big cities. They don't feel like they have any belonging. Do you know where they feel like they belong? In that gang. Unfortunately, I think that even in jail, there is a sense of community. And if you've ever ministered in jail, you realize when you're getting out, a lot of times there's a lot of excitement, but I've talked to many men the weekend before they're getting out, and they say, oh, brother, I'm so excited. I'm going to go home. I'm going to see my family. And then they kind of stop. They say, but I'm scared. I'm scared. Why? Because where they were, usually the ones I had talked to had gotten right with God. There was a great support structure there. They were living for the Lord, and now they were going out, and they weren't going to belong anywhere. Boy, I always told them, find a good church and dig right in. The church is where you should belong. That's where your sense of community should be the wellspring of your life. You know what that means? That means that if there's a meeting scheduled at church, you know what? I'm just not going to go on vacation. You say, well, you're the pastor. Well, you know what? I didn't go on vacation before I was the pastor. Why? Because that was my sense of community. I wanted to belong. How can you belong to something that you're not ever there for? Or if it gets second billing to everything else. Boy, I hated when I was a youth pastor. If there was even a football game on the television, I knew I was in competition now. Boy, is that the way it's supposed to be? No, listen, if there's a youth activity, it shouldn't be asking your young person, listen, do you want to go to this? It should be, hey, I've got great news. The youth activity is on Friday, and you get to go. I'm not saying you hold it over their head and you tell them, boy, I'm making you go there. Wrap it up with a little pizzazz, but let them know that they're going. Why? Because you ought to instill within them a sense of community in the church. The church doesn't save you. But you know, it's the only organism that God has given to reach the world. There's a lot of other places people go to find fellowship, to find this communion. But I just believe it ought to start right here at the local church. So we see the fellowship in the sacrifice. It is not just a gathering. We don't gather here just because. We've got a nice building. We have beautiful windows. I'm not going to tell you how much somebody told me they thought I'd be able to sell one of these windows for. I told them, give me the guy's number. But we gather here for the purpose. Jesus said, do this in what? Remembrance of not just the atoning sacrifice of the Old Testament, not just what happened during the Last Supper. It was in remembrance of me. Jesus Christ was saying, remember me when you observe the Lord's table. Remember what I've done for you. Remember the sacrifice that was made on your behalf. We're going to get to it in just a second, but if we're going to do that, we're going to have to look at our heart and make sure that, first of all, we're clean, but secondly, that we're not thinking about so many other things. Because we are so busy, busy people. I'm busy. I know you're busy. I'm so thankful that we can take a day like Sunday and gather together as a community of believers and worship God and take some time out of this busy schedule and just focus on Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. So we see the fellowship in the sacrifice. Do you feel like you belong here? I hope you do. If not, then we're not doing our job. But I'm going to tell you how you can feel like you belong. Not just coming to the meetings, not just coming to church when the church doors are open, but get busy in the church. See, you know, I go and I just don't have any friends there. The Bible says if you show yourself friendly, you're going to have friends. If you go make a friend, I guarantee you, you'll have a friend. If you go make two friends, you'll have two friends. All right? And it might just be you'll go make a friend with somebody who needs a friend. You ever think about that? So we have the fellowship and the sacrifice. But I want you to keep reading verse 17. It says, for we, being many, are one bread. I want you to think about that. We'll just carry with it the idea of a loaf. All right? Now it would be an unleavened loaf or a piece. But we, being many, so that's us right here, are, let's just stop at the word one. We, being many, are one. Let me tell you something I appreciate about Maranatha Baptist Church. I pray for it. I'm thankful for it. I praise God for it. It is the unity that he gives us here. Unity in direction, unity of spirit, unity of purpose. I'm so thankful for that. Don't ever take that for granted. But we are one. Paul, in another place, calls us one body. That means each one of us has a part to play, a thing to do. Nobody is unnecessary. I was talking to somebody very recently that had their gallbladder taken out. Not necessarily against their consent, but they were in such pain they didn't know what was happening. And when it was over, they said, I wanted to talk to somebody. I don't think God's put anything in here that's not supposed to be in there. Now, we understand there's times, and we're thankful for medical technology and whatever it might have been as had to be removed. But I'll tell you, there's nobody that's a part of Maranatha Baptist Church that isn't necessary. Everybody has a function. Everybody has a job to do. Everybody has something that God has brought them to this place in order to accomplish. And I'm thankful for that. And so there is this unity in the sacrifice. Not only a fellowship in the sacrifice, but a unity in the sacrifice. But keep reading. It says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. You're going to see that word again in verse 18. Partakers. What does that mean? It just means to participate. We are participating or partaking of that one bread. Who's he referring to now? He's referring to Christ. We all, being many, are one body. We're one, and we are partaking of that one blessing. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, that's the purpose of us being here tonight as we have the Lord's table. We come here not as individuals, although we do come individually before God, and we want to make sure that our heart is right. We'll talk about that in a second. But we come here together to worship God corporately. You say, listen, I can go camping and I can worship God in the middle of the fort. You know that's true, you can, but you'd be disobedient to Scripture if you're neglecting coming together and worshiping with everybody else. So we come together in this community. I don't like the phrase community of faith, all right? I like the phraseology community of believers, all right? Because people have a lot of faith in a lot of different things. And I know people believe in a lot of different things, but it seems just a phrase that's thrown around today. for we're all partakers of that one bread. Now he transitions. He's still talking about there's a unity in that sacrifice. Okay? But he's going to now say, behold, in verse 18, Israel after the flesh. Now, before you get confused about that, thinking that there's some word missing or that there's a misprint in your Bible, I want you to understand what he's talking about right there. He's talking about physical Israel. He's not talking about spiritual Israel. Remember, Paul at one time had talked about how that we are all children of Abraham by faith, right? But we are not Israel. The church is not Israel. But he's making a comparison now to physical Israel, and he's going to give us a spiritual truth through that. Behold, Israel after the flesh, or physical Israel, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Oh, there is a consecration of the sacrifice, if you will. There is they're partaking of that. You know what he's talking about is that brazen altar. It's about 7.5 foot wide, 7.5 foot long. It's a square, and it was about, I think, 4 foot or 4 foot so high up in the air. A lot of theologians believe that there was probably a ramp going down one side that they would bring the offering in the center, and the priest would walk up, and they would tie on the four corners the horns of the altar. It was a symbol of God's power, and they would tie the animal up there as they were getting ready to do the sacrifice. But then they would sacrifice that animal, and then some of that animal would be burnt, and some of it would be eaten. But do you understand what God is saying through the inspiration, or excuse me, what Paul is saying through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is that as they partook of that, they were having fellowship, listen, not just with the priest or anybody, they were having fellowship with God Almighty. You're going to find that this principle all through this passage. So that when we come together and we have the Lord's table, it is not just a piece of unleavened bread bought from Lifeway. Now listen, it's not transubstantiation consubstantiation, there's another one I'm missing. It's not any of those substitutions, all right? In that regard, it is a piece of bread, but it's not just something that we buy and do. It is representative. And then, when we partake of that Lord's table, do you know what we're doing? We are having communion. We are having fellowship with God Almighty. There is a spiritual component to the Lord's table that we cannot overlook. That's why I believe when they were coming and they were carnal and they were going and they were eating and people were falling asleep, they were dying because of their carnality, because they had completely ignored the spiritual aspect of the Lord's table. It was all about filling their gullet instead of filling their soul. So when you come to the Lord's table, it's not just a matter of saying, oh yeah, I want to remember what Christ did for me. That's good, and we are to do that. But it's more than just that. It is a spiritual communion with God that we have. What an incredible privilege we have to not only remember Him, but to worship Him in the process, of remembering Him. We have the fellowship in the sacrifice. We have unity in the sacrifice. It goes on in verse 19. Oh, by the way, that altar was a sacrifice, excuse me, what the altar represented, what was sacrificed, to whom they were sacrificing, and why they were sacrificing. Listen, that's the same that this is. This is telling us that Christ was sacrificed. He was sacrificed on our behalf for our sins. What a blessing that is. Verse 19 goes on to say, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to whom? Devils. And not to God. Now, we're not going to take time to go into it completely tonight. We're going to look at all the way up to verse 22. But Paul really is talking about the conscience here. He goes over three different things. He talks about when you're in a marketplace, if you're over somebody's house and somebody's offended, or if you are going to buy something and take it home. Okay? And I tell you, I really commend you to read this portion of Scripture. You'll come to the conclusion, you'll read that and you say, well, I don't understand. It looks like he's contradicting himself. What he's saying is, we don't want to be a stumbling block. Again, we're not going to take time to look at the stumbling block principle tonight. We've looked at that before, and we will be looking at that again. But understand that he is not contradicting himself. He is simply saying, listen, if you take something home and it's not offensive for you, get the best cut of meat. But if you go somewhere and somebody says, did you know that was offered to idols? You don't want to be a stumbling block to them, so you can bear their conscience, not change your conviction necessarily, and abstain. And really, one of the ways that you can tell you're maturing in the faith is when you will say no to yourself, even when you're fine with God to do it for the sake of someone else. All right. He goes on to say, and I would not that ye should have, listen, fellowship with devils. It's that same word. I didn't write it down. I believe it's the same word as communion. I'd have to go back and look at that to be sure. But do you understand that there was a spiritual component that when they were sacrificing those animals to those false gods, that Paul said there is a spiritual component that I don't want you involved with. So don't mess with that, those things that are sacrificed to idols. Verse 21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. I'm going to stop there for just a second. We're going to park on that just for a second. James put it this way. You cannot be a double-minded man. Right? A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. And so I believe one of the things that we're called to do when we come to the Lord's table is to ask the Lord, am I double-minded in some area of my life? Is my thought life right with you, Lord? Is my walk, is my testimony, is there something in my life that is not right with you? Because what we're doing is listen, we're getting ready to come in communion or fellowship with God through the Lord's table, and we want to make sure that our heart is right. We can't be double-minded. We can't say, it's not that big of a deal. Listen, to God, it is a big deal. He wants not just some of us. He wants all of us. And so as we come to him, to remember what he did, it's a good time to take a personal inventory. It's a great opportunity for us to say, Lord, I know I've been struggling in this area. I know that I just have really not seen the seriousness of this sin, but in light of what you have done, if I'm going to eulogize your name, if I'm going to partake of that cup of blessing, if I'm able to bless that cup of blessing because of what you've done, I'm going to take that more seriously. Lord, maybe I've just been neglecting something in my life. Maybe I've been neglecting my family. Maybe I've been neglecting my time with you. I don't know what it might be. Listen, the Holy Spirit can tell you a whole lot easier than I can if you listen to him tonight. But if there's something between you and the Savior, why not say, Lord, I'm going to take that seriously. I'm repenting of it tonight, and I want to get it right. What an opportunity we have. We're one prayer away from having our hearts right with God. He says you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be, listen, there's that word again, partakers of what? The Lord's table and of the table of devils. Why not? Why can't we just have our pet sin? Why can't we just keep that? We're not hurting anybody. Nobody knows about it. Listen, can I just not live my life the way I want to? And God says, no, you can't. Because I own you. You're my child. And when we start thinking that we can run our life the way we want to, do you know what it says we do to God? We provoke him to jealousy. Listen, you might think that sounds good. I don't think that's good at all. He doesn't and shouldn't be jealous over you because you have your affections somewhere else. Listen, fellas, if you're out and your wife thinks that you're looking at someone else, she's going to be jealous, and rightly so. Why? Because your affections are not on her where they should be. Ladies, if you had an internet conversation with somebody that's not your husband and you're carrying on a relationship, And you say, well, listen, we're just friends, but there is an emotional attachment. Your husband has a right to be jealous over that. Why? Because your affections are not where they're supposed to be to your spouse. Likewise, when our affections are set on things not above, but in earthly things, or sensual things, or worldly things, or devilish things, you know what? God says, I am jealous of that affection. Do you know why? Because he deserves it all. Why? Because we're doing this in remembrance of what he did for us, which is everything. He's given us salvation. He's purchased us with his blood. Are we stronger than he? That's a rhetorical question. It's to help us to remember that we are not. He'll go on to say that all things are lawful, and he starts talking about the conscience again. But I want you to know that the thrust of that is that when we come to God to have the Lord's table, we are in a sense of community together, worshiping God in a place I hope that you feel that you belong, but also we are coming to worship corporately God Almighty. But when we come together, we also go individually to ensure that our heart. And so as we do that, when we have the Lord's table, it's a time that we can be drawn back to God. As we draw nigh to him, he says he'll draw nigh to us. It is a time of restoration and renewal. It's also a time of celebration and recognition of what he's done for us. So I hope tonight we're going to take just a few minutes like we do every time we have the Lord's table, after we pass out the bread, to give you some time to be introspective. To ask the Holy Spirit to shine the spotlight in your life of some area that may be displeasing to him. Why? Because we want to be in perfect harmony, in unity, together with each other, but also with God. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray that tonight as we celebrate and partake of the Lord's table, Lord, not only would we remember what you have done and the agony that you suffered and redemption that you have provided, but Lord, would you help us to look at our heart, to look at our life. Lord, show us where we are displeasing to you. What are we failing to do? What are we doing that does not please you? Lord, would you grant us the mercy and grace that you so often do when we come to you to confess our sins. Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, thank you for that. For that promise. Thank you for doing it. I pray now, Lord, that as we look to you,